For those of you using the sermon handouts, I got something on there that just, when I read it, I thought, that doesn't make any sense. It's on the first page, and if you look at Roman numeral number 3, and then subpoint B, and then subpoint 2, it says, the Lamb stood in the blank of the throne of the four living creatures and of the elders. And just put a period right there and scratch out the rest. Because it doesn't really make sense. I knew there was something I was going to say there, and I changed my mind, so I changed it in my notes, but not on the handouts. So, or if you can, maybe you can make something out of it. I was trying to make something out of it this afternoon. I thought, I think I know what I was trying to say, but anyways. In Revelation 4:1, John revealed to us that he was invited into heaven. And of course, he took the invitation. Why was John invited into heaven? He and all his readers needed to know, we need to know, who is ruling in the affairs of this planet. Therefore, John saw the throne of God. But thrones are not merely for decoration purposes. But things happen there that affect the whole kingdom. And that's the purpose of a throne. Well, let's see what happened. Okay, so heaven's been opened up. John's taken us into heaven. He's so overwhelmed by what he sees. He writes it all down for us. Now what? That's the rest of the book of Revelation. Let's notice the first thing that happens, which is what chapter 5 is all about. One thing is happening in this chapter. What is it? Well, it prepares us for what happens in the next couple of chapters, all the way through chapter 8, and then some more things happen there. Revelation 5, verse 1. Just look at God's right hand. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. God evidently wrote something. And he had a lot to say. Because John says that he could see that the scroll was written on the inside. Because, you know, it's rolled up. It's in God's right hand. It's rolled up. But John can see on the inside of the roll that there's writing in there. But he can also see on the outside, or what would be the back of it when it's unrolled, that there's more writing. What was written was of such importance that it was sealed. Not with one seal, or 2, or even 3, or even 4, or 5, or 6. But there were 7 seals on this scroll. Are we going to find out what each of these seals means? Are we going to find out what is written on this scroll? And to whomever it was written must have been more important than anyone on this earth. Because it's taking place in heaven, for one thing. And there are 7 seals keeping this thing closed as though no one else is to open this except for only one person. And he has to be able to open these things up without tearing the whole thing to pieces. All right, let's look at verses 2 through 4. Who will open the scroll? Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. A strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice a great question. This matter, whatever it is, required the services of not just an angel, but John said a strong angel who could deliver with a mighty voice the question of who is worthy to open the scroll and to look at it and to loose its seals. This was no ordinary scroll, but it required someone greater than the strong angel to be able to open the scroll and to loose its seals. What was written in and on this scroll? Sadly, no one in all of God's material and spiritual creations was found worthy to open the scroll. John cried, believing that the scroll remained closed forever because no one could be found who was worthy. Well, you can understand where John's coming from. Why did he cry? Well, he's already seen Jesus in his glorified state, chapter 1. He's been told to write seven letters to seven churches, chapters 2 and 3. He's been invited up into heaven, and he saw the throne of God and saw God himself on the throne and saw all the things that go on around the throne, Revelation 4. Then suddenly he notices a scroll written on the inside and the outside in God's hand, right hand, and it's sealed up. It's like all this that he's been experiencing, all this that he's been hearing and seeing is preparing him for this scroll, and all of a sudden he's told there's no one in heaven, on the earth, or under the earth who is able to open this scroll. His emotions have been taken as high as possible. Would not your emotions be at their peak if you had the experience of John in Revelation 4 to go into heaven and see the throne room of God? I mean, I just get goose pimples up and down my back thinking about that. And then all of a sudden, here's the first negative thing. It's like I've been brought up here and boom, we've hit a wall. And the emotion overwhelms him and he begins to cry. How sad that no one was able to open this. Everyone was either unholy or not of high enough rank to open this scroll. But then, watch what happens next in verses 5 through 7. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. As John is crying, suddenly one of these elders gets his attention and speaks to him, explaining that he does not have to weep anymore. Someone has been found who is worthy to open this scroll. And the elder identified the worthy one. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Root of David. He is the one who prevailed to open the scroll and its seven seals. Evidently, something had happened to him. He had been in some kind of struggle that he had to prevail. It must have been a fierce battle. But he overcame, making him the only worthy one in all of heaven and earth to be able to open the scroll, to look at it, to take it, and to read it. Through what did he prevail? Who was he? So as John, you know, he's first looking at the throne, he hears this announcement from the angel, then one of the elders talks to him, so he's turned away from the throne. And as he's talking with the elder, and the elder's then done, because he's heard that there is someone worthy, he naturally turns back to the throne, and now he sees someone else there that he hadn't seen before. But he did not see a lion, but a lamb. He'd just been told it was the lion of the tribe of Judah. He doesn't see a lion standing there. He sees a lamb standing there. He saw the lion who is a lamb. This is the one in whom the lions among men and the lambs among men can be one. This is the one who is a lion to his enemies and a lamb to his friends. This lamb stood right in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures and of the elders. And then John looked more closely and he could see that the lamb looked as though he had been slain. It looked like he had been dead before. And evidently, this is how he prevailed, making him worthy. He had gone through some kind of conflict, through some kind of trouble, and he was killed. Someone killed the lamb, but the lamb prevailed by overcoming death. That sounds to me like he would be the one who has the keys of Hades and of death. This would sound like one who is more powerful than death itself. As John looked at the lamb, he noticed some more unusual things about this lion lamb. This lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which we are told are the seven spirits of God. This lamb is Jesus Christ. There is no one else that can be. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist identified Jesus Christ for us in this very way. In John 1:29, as John was preaching one day, he saw Jesus walking by, and he said to his disciples, "Behold, take a look, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus had identified himself as the one who died but was now living. In other words, he had gone through a struggle, so much so that it took his life, but he prevailed by overcoming death. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus spoke of himself by saying this, "I am he who was alive," or who lives, "and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Then in Revelation 3, Jesus identified himself as the one with the seven spirits of God. He told John to write this, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive," and so on. Well, right there, Jesus is bringing it all together for us, along with John the Baptist. That Jesus is the Lamb. He is the Lamb who was dead but now is alive. He is the Lamb who has the seven eyes, or the seven spirits of God. Then John spoke further about the seven spirits, showing their mobility, that they are sent out into all the earth. Also, we know that they're before the throne of God as flames of fire. We saw that in chapter 4 this morning, verse 5. Jesus possesses them. We just saw that in Revelation 3:1. And Jesus has them as horns and eyes. Now watch the boldness of this lamb, whom we think of as a cute, furry little creature, marches right up to the throne and takes the scroll. Goes right up to it. He knows that he's worthy. He did something that no one else in heaven, not even those great four living creatures could do. And what happened when he took the scroll? Let's look at verses 8 through 10. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." When Jesus took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down in worship. They were prepared for worship because each one had a harp with which to sing and golden bowls of incense, which John said are the prayers of the saints. And so they offer themselves and they offer these things up to God in worship. What do they say in worship to God? Well, they sang a song. And they sang of the worthiness of Jesus Christ. And notice the things that they said that makes Him worthy. He was slain. He was redeemed, or He has redeemed us by His blood. He redeemed us, they sing, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He made us kings and priests to our God, and He made us to reign on the earth. Look at all these things He's done for us. So the elders naturally worship Him, even as we should. For all these things have been done for us. Well, it wasn't enough for the 24 elders to sing to Him in worship. The angels had to join in too. Verses 11 and 12. "And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" First, the four living creatures glorify God. We observe that this morning in chapter 4, verse 8. Second, the 24 elders. The number who glorified God increased with the number of the 24 elders in verses 8 through 10. Third, the number swelled beyond counting with the addition of all these angels. John tells us what the number was. Well, he tried to anyways. He said the number, first of all, was 10,000 times 10,000. Well, you may want to write in the margin of your Bible, that is 100 million. And it's easy to figure out a multiplication like this. Just take all the zeros in both of those numbers, write them all down, and put a 1 in front of it. And you'll come up with 100 million. And if you're not sure about that, get out your calculator or go through the trouble to go through your multiplication and write it down with the little X there in the line and do all that, and you'll see 100 million. But then John added that there were thousands of thousands more. Adding millions. 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. So here you've got thousands of thousands. Who knows how many are there? 100 million plus. That's what I would do if I were you in the margin of your Bible. That's what I've done. I've written down 100 million with a plus sign after it. 100 million angels plus. Now, how would you like to hear that chorus sing? You've got the four living creatures. Then you have the 24 elders. And then you throw in there angels beyond number. Wow. I want to be there. I want to hear that. And I'd like for every single one of you to be there with me. Now listen to them in verse 12 saying that the Lamb is worthy to receive the seven attributes ascribed to God. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. This Lamb sounds like He is God. We would ascribe all seven of those things to God the Father. And you know something? I just told you how big the chorus was that was singing. Now, perhaps an even greater number is added to it. Look at verse 13. And every creature, which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. All of spiritual and material creation joined the heavenly hosts to give glory to God. How many do we have praising Him now at this point? It almost sounds like He's even including the animals. Anything that God has created that has breath, whether you talk about in the realm of the Spirit or in the realm of this world, they're all praising God now. Man, that is, to me, that's just magnificent, is it not? I would be happy if I could just hear the four living creatures singing praises to God. What was this vision like for John? How did he see all these people and beings? And of course, they all do these things because they are all obeying Psalm 148. I want to read that entire psalm. As I read Revelation 5:13, this passage came to my mind. But I thought, okay, I don't want to read the whole chapter. What I'll do is just like maybe read one or two verses. But I kept going and kept going. I thought, I can't stop anywhere. I have to read all 14 verses of Psalm 148 because I think it's a great commentary on what we see going on in Revelation chapter 5. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. There's the command. And notice everyone and everything that is commanded to praise the Lord. And they're all obeying Him in Revelation 5. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens. And you waters above the heavens. Even the water's going to praise God that's up there in the sky. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Excuse me. For He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, people near to Him. Praise the Lord. So literally, I guess it's even beyond what I was saying. I was saying at first that it was anything that has breath. Well, He was including things that don't have breath. Let the snow praise Him. Let the clouds praise Him. Let the trees praise Him. And that's precisely what we see going on in Revelation 5, verse 13. All glory belongs to the Father and to the Lamb. One more verse. Verse 14. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped God, or Him, who lives forever and ever. These four living creatures hear all of history's greatest chorus sing the praises of God. And what's their response? Amen. What's the response of the 24 elders when they hear this? They just fall down before God and worship Him. The four living creatures add, Amen. How can we do less? We have as much reason to join this heavenly chorus as anyone. We were the ones whom God created. Then we rebelled, but He saved us from our rebellion. Now we have the hope of being in on what we just saw. So we have even more reason for praising God, we might say, than the four living creatures do. We should have been extinguished, but God didn't do that. He gave us another opportunity. Praise God for that. Amen to those things. The 24 elders, in deep and profound humility, fell down again. This is not the first time they've fallen down to worship God. When you know God as the sons of Jacob do, and as the apostles of Jesus Christ do, that's the 24 elders, you will fall down and worship as they did, because your heart will overflow and be overwhelmed with the unspeakable glory of the Father and the Lamb. I want to encourage every single person here with everything that is within me. Follow Jesus with all your might, that you may join the worship in heaven. Follow Him. Don't let anything keep you from following Jesus. And we're going to offer an invitation right now. We're going to sing a song. And if you're thinking, you know something, I'm just not following Jesus the way I know I ought to be, and I want to be in that chorus. I want to go there and see and hear those things. I want to be a part of it. I need help to make sure that I follow Him with all my might. Can we help you? Can we offer a prayer for you? Or do something else that would encourage you to be a better or stronger Christian? If so, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.